Morning, everyone. Welcome back to Leading Off. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. With me is my producer and certified life coach, Brendan Tuma, and you can find him on Twitter at TooMuchTuma. Was your weekend wonderful now that baseball is back, my friends? Of course it was, you saucy minxes. Well, we're going to catch up on all of the baseball today. And by all of the baseball, I mean like 5% because I have 15 to 20 minutes before Brendan just shuts me down entirely. Now, we haven't done a weekend recap show in a while, so to remind you, it's not our normal show. We need to tackle as much as we can as quickly as possible, so buckle up. We're going to start with the standout performances, like Jose Altuve finally returning to form, and Chris Archer and Yu Darvish engaging in what my father-in-law described as a wicked pitch-a-duel. We'll follow that up with some closer news before we finish up with some big injury news, like Mike Trout set to get an MRI in his calf, and Max Scherzer hitting the injured list. And of course, I'll tell you what to look out for in today's games. But let's begin with some standout hitters from this weekend, and that starts with Jose Altuve. Altuve had himself a nice little three-game set, going 4-for-6 on Friday and 3-for-5 with a grand slam on Sunday. Now, in 20 games since being activated from the injured list on June 19th, Altuve is hitting .322 with 16 runs scored and 10 RBI. He's still not stealing bases, which is certainly something that's going to prevent him from ever regaining the value he had coming into last year if this continues. But given that he had looked totally lost for a while this weekend, and how he has looked overall since his activation, is a welcome sight. You know what other second baseman had a nice weekend? The left for dead Robinson Cano. Cano went 4-for-5 with a homer on Sunday against the Marlins a day after he homered on Saturday. Now, for what it's worth, and that is not much, Cano said many times he had been hit on the hand this year had really impacted his power. And while that explanation and $7 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks, Cano has been hit on the hand several times this year, so it is certainly a plausible explanation. So if you continue to hold Cano this whole season hoping for a rebound, you might finally be rewarded. You know what other second baseman had a really nice weekend and had been playing well? Fine, he's just a former second baseman, but it's Daniel Murphy. Whatever, it still counts. Murphy went 8-for-12 in the series against the Reds with 2 homers, 5 RBI, and 5 runs scored. Now, those were his first 2 homers in Coors Field, which just means that his season has been a total waste. He is 21-for-52 over his last 15 games, and going back further than that, Murphy has roughly a .975 OPS since May 30th. All of a sudden, he's got a .300 average and well over an .800 OPS on the season. Murph looks like Murph again. And with things going crazy at Coors Field right now, he looks ready to have a strong end of the season. Brendan informed me over the weekend that I have spent only 0.4% of the entirety of this podcast discussing catchers. Now, the problem I have with things like that is that I have absolutely no way to verify it. Brendan tells me all sorts of nonsense, and he could be making half of it up. What do I know? But to appease him, let's talk about a couple of catchers who had nice weekends, like Buster Posey, who hit a grand slam on Friday. This was Posey's first home run in a month, but he does have 5 multi-hit games in his last 8 starts. And since June 28th, he's slashing .389, .421, .556. Now, being totally honest, I own plenty of Posey, and I have been entirely unable to cut the cord for the likes of guys who have plainly been better than him, like Christian Vasquez and Mitch Garver, both of whom also homered this weekend. Now, I have Garver ranked ahead of Posey in my rest of season rankings, so I'm probably just a big old hypocrite. But I guess I've always stubbornly held out hope, despite not much reason to. But for now, there is some reason to. And there is, of course, always some reason to hold out hope with JT Realmuto, who homered Sunday and extended his hitting streak to 10 straight games with an RBI single in the fourth. Over his 10-game streak, he is now batting .400 with 8 RBI. And speaking of catchers, Carlos Santana continued his career year with a big weekend. Fine, Santana is just a former catcher, but you know you enjoy those couple of years where he was still catcher eligible, right? Santana homered on Friday and Sunday, giving him 21 on the season. Remember, he is a guy with a documented history of playing better in the second half, and considering that he currently has a .963 OPS, this might be an outrageous year for the veteran. Another second-half player who is white-hot is Josh Donaldson, who went deep twice on Friday and once on Saturday. Now, after going deep 6 times in 9 games in July, Donaldson is up to 21 homers on the year, the same number as Santana. His average is still lacking, but he is really starting to come on with the power. There were a few other notable hitters this weekend. Cole Calhoun homered on Saturday and Sunday, and is now also up to 21 homers on the year. His average is going to hurt you, but he has been a cheap source of power all year long. Jose Ramirez homered and stole a base this weekend. He's been solid lately, and he entered Sunday batting .327, .390, .596 with three homers and two steals since June 21st. Tyler O'Neill drove in five over the weekend, and he continues to play well, filling in for Marcell Ozuna. Jason Hayward went 6-for-13 this weekend with his 15th homer of the year on Sunday, the most he has hit since he had a career-high 27 back in 2012. He's batting .383 with 5 homers and 14 RBI and 12 runs scored over his last 16 games. Mike Brasso had himself a nice weekend with the Rays, hitting 3 home runs. In his first 12 major league games, he's got 4 homers and is batting nearly .400 with like a 1240 OPS. I'd be lying if I said I had much insight into whether this is real. His minor league numbers are generally favorable to him, and he usually hits for average and he's shown developing power. For now, I'm just treating this like any other hot streak and not buying in totally yet, but he is certainly worth keeping track of. Alright, let's quickly look at a few pitching performances from this weekend, and like with hitters, let us focus only on those that maybe move the needle for our rest of season outlook. Except, of course, that we have to mention the Angels in a bullpen game throwing a no-hitter on Friday, the day they honor Tyler Skaggs. There's no real fantasy takeaway here. It was just amazing. Like when D. Gordon hit roughly a 450-foot home run the day after Jose Fernandez died. Sports can be magical. That's why we love it. But let's talk about Yu Darvish and Chris Archer's pitcher duel from Friday. Darvish threw 6 shutout innings, allowing 2 hits and a walk with 8 strikeouts. He has 6 walks over his last 6 starts, and his whip is down to a kinda manageable 129. Now look, other than Friday, the results overall have not really been there. In his 3 previous starts, he had allowed 13 earned runs, and the guy has 2 wins total on the year. But so long as he continues to demonstrate improved command, he is at least borderline worth starting and certainly should be owned everywhere given his upside. He's probably worth a shot against the Reds. As for Archer, he was charged with 3 runs in 6-plus innings, but he totally dominated for 6 innings, and then the bullpen let 2 runs score in the 7th. He allowed 5 base runners total and struck out 10. And here's why, after being out on Archer, I am back in. He spoke pretty openly prior to the start about how he had tried to be a more pitch-to-contact ground ball-style pitcher since he got to Pittsburgh. And that sounds right, because since being traded last year, Archer has thrown his sinker about 15% of the time, which is slightly more than the none percent of the time that he threw it from 2015 through 2017. And it was not going well this year, as you might imagine. He threw that pitch 16% of the time, and he allowed a 549 wOBA against it. And Archer said before the game that he's going to go back to pitching how he feels is best and not trying to be someone he's not. And do you know how many sinkers he threw against the Cubs on Friday? 0.0. This is really, really good. A pitcher who talks about an adjustment, goes out and makes that adjustment, and looks completely different. I will buy this entire narrative mostly because I am desperate to justify my preseason ranking of Archer. But personally, I'm starting him against the Cardinals in his next time out. I don't get Chris Sale. I just do not. Sale allowed 5 runs on 7 hits and a walk over 4 2/3 innings against the Dodgers on Saturday. In his first 5 starts, Sale had a 7.43 ERA. In his next 9, a 2.09 ERA. In his last 5, a 6.59 ERA. Sale, like his fantasy owners, sounds extremely frustrated. There's nothing crazy here when I look at the numbers. His walk rate is a tiny bit up. He's giving up a few more homers. He's not quite as good with runners on. But in the end, his FIP is .336 and his XFIP is .309. Without digging into it too much because it's a weekend recap episode and we ain't got the time, it really seems like Sale's command just isn't as crisp and he's left far too many balls in the middle of the plate. Now, I own Sale in a league. I have not benched him once, and I'm not benching him now. When you start benching the Chris Sales and the Blake Snells of the world, what are we even doing here, man? He's going to take on the Blue Jays next. I've tried hard to ignore Mike Fiers this year, but he is making it very, very difficult to keep doing that. Fiers earned his 9th win on Friday, throwing 7 2/3 scoreless innings while striking out 4 against the White Sox. Fiers hasn't lost a decision in 2 months, and he has thrown 9 consecutive quality starts. A 3.61 ERA and a 1.11 WHIP, and 4 runs allowed in his last 5 starts. The best way I can sum it up with a guy like Fires is this. Fires is 34 years old, and he has an entire career of mediocrity. He is someone you pick up and start, and then you drop him after his first bad start. That's not rocket science, but that's how I do it. He'll take on the Twins next. Other standout pitchers from this weekend included Mike Soroka, who struck out a career-high 9 over 7 scoreless innings against the Padres on Sunday. He had 18 swinging strikes. Soroka is on everyone's second-half bust list, and I get it. But I don't think his owners are really expecting him to pitch to a low 2s ERA all year anyway. He should be just fine for the rest of the season. Startable week in and week out, so don't go running to sell high unless you can really sell high. He's going to take on the Nationals next. Noah Syndergaard looked great on Saturday, allowing just 2 earned runs while striking out 9 against the Marlins. His overall numbers remain disappointing this year, but like most Mets pitchers, he looks better now that Tomas Nito is his personal catcher. He'll look to keep it rolling against the Giants. Brendan McKay was excellent against the Orioles on Saturday, striking out 7 over 5 scoreless innings. His reward was to be optioned to the minors. This is mostly just a procedural move for the Rays, though McKay is required to be down for 10 days, after which he'll likely be recalled and rejoin the rotation. And it could be sooner than that if the Rays have an injury. For now, there's no reason to worry as a McKay owner, and he should be back and contribute for the majority of the rest of the season. Alright, let's quickly run through some closer news. Luke Jackson converted a typically shaky save on Friday, and followed that up with a typically shaky save on Saturday. And then AJ Minter converted a non-shaky save for the Braves on Sunday. Now Jackson was probably not available anyway, but there is just no way that the Braves can let Jackson be their closer come playoff time. I'd have to imagine that they're out there looking to add to their bullpen. So if I'm a Jackson owner, I'm looking for fortification in my own fantasy bullpen. Liam Hendricks continues to dominate, earning the save on Friday and the win on Sunday for the A's. Here's my take on the entire situation. I think this is Hendricks' job so long as he continues to pitch well. Even if Blake Treinen turns things around and goes back to being the pitcher he was last year, I think it's going to take more than that. In my opinion, it is Hendricks' job unless he loses it, not if Treinen takes it. Diego Castillo was activated off the injured list on Friday and pitched for the Rays on Saturday, but it was Emilio Pagan with the save on Sunday. Pagan is likely the leader in save chances for the foreseeable future, but Castillo could certainly factor in down the road. For now, though, to the extent you dip your toes in the water of the Rays bullpen, you should go with Pagan. Michael Givens got his 7th save of the year on Saturday against the Rays. Givens' last save was on June 11th, and he will probably be traded. But it's nice to talk about the Orioles once in a while, so there you go. Carlos Martinez recorded 2 saves this weekend against the Diamondbacks. Martinez now has saves in 3 of his last 4 appearances and is looking good to go. In case you had any doubts about how he would perform as a closer, it looks like they have been answered, at least for now. Nate Eovaldi threw another bullpen session and may return within a week. And Ken Giles was unavailable this weekend with nerve inflammation in his right elbow. This is another one of those darn massage-related injuries. Seriously, folks, when are we going to stop all this madness and just ban massages outright? The world is becoming unsafe. Giles is not on the IL, so hopefully he can return shortly. In his absence, Daniel Hudson picked up the messy save over the weekend against the Yankees, so he would likely be the one to own if Giles is absent for a while or traded, but only if you like a bloated ERA and sporadic save opportunities. Let's close shop with some injury news. Mike Trout left yesterday's game against the Mariners with right calf tightness. He's going to have an MRI today. MRIs are never a good sign, but Trout and the Angels insist this is like uber precautionary. So for now, just think positive thoughts. The Angels have a game today, so hopefully for weekly lineup league purposes, we should know more by midday. Meanwhile, Trout is currently the best version of himself. Before Sunday, he had hit 8 homers and driven in 18 over his last 7 games. Max Scherzer had his Sunday start pushed back to Tuesday with mid-back tightness, but now has landed on the injured list. With back dating, Scherzer could start Saturday against the Braves, but we really have no idea whether that's going to happen. In a weekly league, unless you are desperate, it sounds too risky to put him out there unless we hear more. Yadier Molina is expected to miss 3 weeks with his thumb injury, and Jonathan Lucroy, who is on the concussion IL, is also expected to miss 3 weeks after being scheduled for a non-invasive procedure to correct a nose fracture. Dylan Bundy was placed on the injured list with knee inflammation, but he is expected to miss just 1 start. Danny Duffy should make his start against the White Sox after being hit in the hand by a comebacker on Friday. Yasiel Puig pinch hit on Sunday after sitting out with a sore knee, so he should be fine going forward. He also homered on Saturday and continues to rake, so you're obviously starting him. Jesse Winker left yesterday's game against the Rockies with an apparent oblique injury, leaving during the middle of an at-bat. Assuming that he has to miss time, there are a million players who could see more playing time for the Reds, including Derek Dietrich, Jose Peraza, or Philip Ervin. Byron Buxton missed Sunday's game after leaving the game on Saturday with either a facial or a chest injury. It's unclear exactly what he's suffering from or how much time he'll miss. But hopefully Eddie Rosario will be back Tuesday as expected and can fill in the outfield if Buxton needs to miss more time. If you are a Buxton owner, monitor the situation for any word about how much more time, if any, that he's going to miss. Evan Longoria left Sunday's game in the fifth inning with left foot discomfort. Bruce Bochy said after the game that Longoria is dealing with a plantar fascia issue, and he is day-to-day. Longoria had been really, really hot lately. He had homered Friday and entered Sunday with six homers in his past 2 weeks with a 1459 OPS, so hopefully he can play through the foot injury. Brad Peacock had a setback, experiencing renewed soreness in his right shoulder on Saturday after a rehab start. He was originally set to start today, but instead Framber Valdez will get the nod on 3 days rest. Peacock is going to be reevaluated, but obviously don't go pinning your hopes on him for the rest of the season. Justin Upton returned from the injured list and homered. AJ Pollock returned from the injured list and homered twice. And Luke Voit returned from the injured list and homered nunce. Carlos Correa will likely begin a rehab assignment with AAA today. And Hunter Pence is scheduled to return on Tuesday for the first two games at home against the Diamondbacks after completing his rehab assignment on Sunday night with AA Frisco. Note that with a bunch of lefties on tap this week and Pence returning, Willie Calhoun may see a reduction in playing time. And both Alex Wood and Sean Manaea continue to progress in their rehab assignments. Both are likely at least a few weeks away. Some final notes from this weekend. Andrew Kashner has been traded to the Red Sox, and he should start Tuesday against the Blue Jays. Michael Conforto looks like he might have a permanent home in the two spot in the lineup, which would improve his overall numbers. Homer Bailey has been traded to the A's, and he will start Wednesday against the Mariners. Eliezer Hernandez has been moved to the bullpen, which keeps both Zach Gallen and Jordan Yamamoto in the Marlins rotation. And Ryan Braun is going to miss today's game for Tyler Skaggs' memorial service, just for those of you in daily lineup leagues. Note that for all the worries about Braun's knee, he stole 2 bases this weekend, so he should be just fine. As for today, I'm going to be watching the Rockies take on the Giants in Coors Field. Not because I'm really interested in any pitcher or anything, but just because everything in that ballpark is crazy right now. So make sure to play all of them in your DFS lineups. And that is all for today's show. As you guys can hear from my voice, I'm sure, I'm a little run down, but I will be back at it at full strength tomorrow. I'm at DanHarris80. Brendan is at TooMuchTuma for when you get bored. Have a great day, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow.